And welcome back to the latest and greatest episode of the Shaving Points Podcast. My name is Jayden May, joined as always by my co-host, Quentin Crisco. How we doing tonight, Quentin?
Yeah, winners of Christmas, Jay. Went 4-2. Should put me up, 7.5 units on the year, something like that. I haven't finished the numbers yet, but feeling good, feeling fine. Ready to get some more winners.
I had a decent week, too. I think I was up one unit maybe on the week. Not arse week, that's for sure.
That's for sure. Ready to jump in?
We got fantasy championships this week. You and I facing off in our league that's been going on for about 10 years. First time we've ever faced each other. Best teams all year. So good luck to you.
Good luck, sir.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, we can go ahead and jump right into the slate.
Let's do it. First up, we got the Jets going to the Browns. Browns 7.5-point favorites. Total at 34.5. You got any thoughts on this game, Jay?
Joe Flacco revenge game.
Joe Flacco revenge game. Love it.
The notorious Joe Flacco Jets era. I think Browns probably win this game. 7.5 is a big number. Very low total. Big number, low total. Kind of screams boring game. But no, I think Browns win, but yeah, I'm not betting this one.
Yeah, 7.5. That hook is just, that makes it tough. If they're telling you it's a low scoring game and it's over a 7-point spread, I'm generally going to pass. Fun fact though, the Jets, including this year, have not had a quarterback throw for 10 plus touchdowns in the last 4 years. Double digit touchdowns. That's all. That's all we're asking.
Who's playing quarterback for this week?
I don't even know.
Because Wilson's got to have like 5 or 6 at the moment, at least.
Probably Trevor Siemian.
Think he has more?
No, I mean, that's who's playing. I don't
know. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The last 3 years, they haven't had one, and they don't have one this year either.
Maybe somebody locks them up for 5 tonight and gets there.
Maybe. Staying away. Next up, Lions going to your beloved Cowboys. Cowboys are 6-point favorites. Total at 53.5. How about them Cowboys, Jay?
Not really nervous going into the playoffs. Wish the penalties would kind of get cleaned up a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, Miami's a tough place to play. Miami's a good team. Thought we played pretty well the whole time. Pollard had a little goof on the end zone, which turned into a Lepke turnover. But not the end of the world. Cowboys are a much different team at home. I expect them to go out and win this game. The way that defense has been playing, I think there's going to be a lot of points in this game. I'm taking over. I got 53, but 53.5 I'll take as well. Give me the over in this game. I like the way Jared Goff and that Lions team's rolling right now. So, yeah, I like the over in this game.
Yeah, I'm with you on the over. I got the over 53.5. I do not think the Lions defense is going to be able to stop the Cowboys offense very well. Losing a Lee McNeil really hurt this defense. Their D-line just is not the same up the middle, which opens up all sorts of opportunities against them. But I think the Lions can score against just about anyone. So I was thinking about taking Cowboys -6, and then I decided to take the over because I just think there's going to be points all over this game. Next one here, the Miami Dolphins going to Baltimore. Ravens are 3.5-point favorites, over under of 46.5. What do you think here, Jeff?
I like the Dolphins in this game. Ravens coming off a big time win over the number one seed in the NFC. Dolphins played a pretty sloppy game against Dallas and came away with the win. I like Dolphins to go in there and keep it close. I wouldn't be surprised if Ravens won this game, but 3.5 is a lot of points for a team that can score as much as the Dolphins can. So yeah, give me Dolphins plus 3.5 here.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards the Dolphins. I'm not taking it. I think both these teams played pretty emotional games last week that were playoff caliber matchups. So I'm just not sure how that's going to swing. At getting the hook there on the 3.5, I lean the Dolphins, but I'm not confident enough to take it. So I'm avoiding.
Good call. Okay.
Next one, we got the New England Patriots, Bill Belichick, going against the Bills, which shouldn't be allowed. I don't think a Bill can't play against the Bills. But no. Bills are 13.5-point favorites here, over under of 40.5. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, huge number, but I'm not touching this game. Bills have been playing fantastic here the last couple of weeks. I mean, I expect them to take care of business here. 40.5, pretty low total, but I think the Bills could win this game 35-5, or 35-5 would be crazy. But, yeah, I mean, I could see them blowing them out and still not sniffing the total here. But they could also score more than 40 by themselves, too. So I'm not taking either side, especially in a division game, 14 points.
Yeah, I think this Patriots defense has actually been playing pretty good football. If I was going to take anything here, it might be the under. But, I mean, I don't actually like that. That's just the one that I think I would like the most. So I am avoiding it. Like you said, Bills are playing good football. I think the Patriots defense has been coming together. I'm not sure they're going to be able to score any points, though, with Bailey Zappe at QB. I mean, we'll see. But I think they'd probably need favorable field position, some Josh Allen interceptions, that type of stuff to really put points on the board here. But, yeah, I'm staying away from this one as well. Next up, the Atlanta Falcons going to Chicago to take on the Bears. Bears are 3-point favorites, over-under of 37.5. What do you think of this one?
This is Justin Fields' live audition to go offer a first-round pick to the Bears.
Yeah, it really is.
You got to hope Justin Fields balls out this game, and then the Falcons leave. Like, we can't start next season without that guy on our team.
Hey, man, Ryan Pace is the director of player personnel over there in Atlanta. I think it would be mighty fine of him to send a lot of draft capital over for Justin Fields like he did previously.
Yeah, double down. I like the Bears in this game. But more than anything, I like over 37.5. I know the Bears' defense is good, but the Falcons got some playmakers on that team. And even though Desmond Ridder's not great, if any one of their Drake Londons or Bijans or Scordarrell or Pitts, I mean, can bust it open at any time. And then, you know, Fields is going to probably put up points. So I like over 37.5 here.
Yeah, I think Heinicke actually might be starting this one for Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, they benched Ridder, didn't they?
Yeah, again.
The Falcons have been some big plays, whether they're pick sixes or 60-yard touchdowns.
I think I actually like that over. I'm not taking it as of now, but with Heinicke starting, I think I like that more because I think the Bears will get a few picks against him, or he'll light it up because that's what Taylor Heinicke does. He either does great or terrible without any in between. But I didn't bet it. Ultimately, this Falcons defense has been good this year, so I haven't seen enough of their tape to be sitting here feeling like they're going to hold them low enough to take the under, or the Bears will figure enough out on offense to take the over, so I just stayed away. But, I mean, I think there's good logic in the over, though.
Mm-hmm.
Next up here, we have the Tennessee Titans going to Houston, take on the Texans. Texans are 4.5-point favorites, over-under of 42.5. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, this division went from being one of the most competitive divisions in the league where everybody kept winning every week. We're like, holy shit, what's going to happen? And then everybody just started losing. And now nobody wants to win the division. But with CJ Stroud coming back this week, I think the Texans should win this game. That's a huge line, a young team versus a veteran team. Big line late in the season, must-win game for the Texans. Titans can play spoiler against division rival. So I don't love that line. And 42.5 is also difficult. Maybe no Will Anderson for the Texans this week, I believe. But still, I mean, Titans don't have a ton of talent. But DeAndre Hopkins' revenge game, you never know. So, yeah, I'm staying away from the total, and I'm staying away from the spread on this one.
This game screams like 16-20 to me, which means one extra field goal could throw it either way. Like, I'm staying away because of that. Like, it was a 4.5-point spread. I think the Titans are going to play games close. It's what they do. Mike Vrabel is really good at getting the most out of his guys. If the Texans still had Tank Dell, I'd like them a lot more at this number. But the fact that their receiving core is basically down to one weapon really limits their offensive upside, I think.
It's like a Dalton Schultz.
Yeah, I mean,
he's been good for him.
That offense hasn't been the same since Tank Dell went down. I mean,
well, we haven't seen Stroud since Tank Dell went down either.
Still, they need another dynamic weapon, and they just don't have it. Like, Noah Brown. Noah Brown's going to do it for him.
He already went off once this year.
Hey, maybe he will. Just start him in fantasy. You heard it here first. Yeah, but
you need a flyer.
Ultimately, I'm staying away because I think if the Titans can take away Nico Collins, the Texans are going to have a tougher time scoring. And I think that's exactly what they're going to aim to do.
Yeah.
Next up here, we got the Raiders going to Indianapolis, take on the Colts. Colts are 3.5-point favorites, total of 43.5. Got any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I have no idea what to think about the Raiders at this point. They're just a mystery to me. And the Colts might win that division, might not. It's like I said, I mean, nobody seems to want to win that division. Another weird line, 3.5. And yeah, I'm staying away from this one too. But if I were to, I would probably take Colts, or I'd probably take the Raiders here at +3.5, and I'll probably take the under. But yeah, I'm staying away from it.
Yeah, I got Colts at -3 yesterday, and I took it. I look at this Raiders team. I see that over half their points came on defensive scores last week. I'm not sure this offense can move the football effectively, consistently. I mean, they might be able to move it on the ground, but they had a lot of game script in their favor last week, so I'm not completely sold in a neutral game script that they can move the football that well on the ground. And Colts at home, there's just something about them. Lucas Oil Stadium's got a weird aura about it. That just weird stuff happens in the Colts' favor there. So give me Colts -3 here. And I thought about taking the under, but like the Colts also, without Michael Pittman, that offense didn't quite work right. But I feel like Shane Steichen has a lot at his disposal but the way he coaches, I feel like he's going to find ways to scheme up success here and get some points. So the total kind of scares me there. I don't think the Raiders are going to be able to score very many points, though. So a lean to the under, but give me Colts -3.
I like that.
Next up, we got the Los Angeles Rams, led by head witch Sean McVay, who is just the grand master of witchcraft, going to the Meadowlands to take on the New York Giants. The Giants are 5.5-point dogs. Looks like I wrote this incorrectly here, with a 44.5-point total. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, Rams are going to win 10 games this year, and they lost Stafford for a couple of games, and they're 3 games back of San Fran, and it's like, imagine if they didn't lose Stafford for a little bit. Rams have been good all year. McVay's good. 5.5 is a big number to cover on the road going all the way across the country. So don't love the spread here, and I would never take the Giants with this team at any number, basically. But at the same time, nearly 6 points is a lot of points to lay on the road, so can't really do that either. And then maybe like the under here, because I don't think the Giants can score. But yeah, Tyrod Taylor, I guess, is playing for the Giants. Weird game. Maybe tease Rams +2.5 with like over 38.
Yeah, I took the Rams -5.5. I think Sean McVay is the type of coach who is going to give Wink Martindale a really hard time with his play calling, because Wink Martindale, he's hyper aggressive. He loves to attack, and McVay knows the right buttons to push against those attacks. I think the Rams are going to have no problem in this game and cruise to a win, because I also think Aaron Donald's going to give their O-line hell. And really, between those two factors, I see the Rams cruising here. So give me Rams -5.5.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, I would probably take Rams if I had to take something in this game.
Next up here, we have the San Francisco 49ers coming off a brutal, brutal loss to the Baltimore Ravens, going to the Commies. The Commies are 12.5-point dogs here, 49.5 point total. What do you think about this one?
It seems to me that they think the 49ers are going to destroy them and score a lot of points. So might just take 49ers team total, whatever that is. Yeah. But 12.5, I'd probably take the 49ers there. I mean, Washington might be one of the worst teams in the league. They're kind of secretly still in play to get that number two pick. Which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for that team. So, yeah, commies are really, really bad. I think 49ers team total might be, I don't know what it is, probably 36 according to these numbers, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like I didn't pull data on this. I feel like I should have. It feels to me like I always bet Kyle Shanahan against Washington because I think he's just going to wreck them.
Yeah.
And it always ends up being a close game. Like in 2019, the year that the 49ers went to the Super Bowl, they beat the Washington 9-0. Like it, so I just don't know what to think or do with this. Like, I feel like this game is always a surprise. I don't know if it's that Washington has a lot of knowledge of Shanahan or that Shanahan just goes over the top because it's against a team they spend a lot of time with or what, yeah. But I'm staying away from this one because I have no idea what to think.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you there. I'm trying to see if I can find the team totals here. I'm not seeing it, but.
Yeah, I thought about taking 49ers team total when I saw this spread total combo, but yeah. It wasn't available yet yesterday, so I didn't end up taking it.
Well, I'm seeing like every other prop for it, but either way. But yeah, that's probably, I mean, I'm sure it'd be around 36 according to these numbers, so yeah, give me that.
All right, next one. The red hot Carolina Panthers making the trek down south to Jacksonville, Florida, take on the Jaguars. The Trevor Lawrence-less Jaguars.
Might be better for them.
Jaguars are 6.5 point favorites here, total of 38. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I want to take the Panthers here just out of principle because are the Jaguars 6.5 points better than anybody in the league right now?
Without Trevor, no.
Even with Trevor, I mean, they haven't played good. They haven't played good in a while. And
I have a sneaking suspicion that Trevor Lawrence is super banged up. Like, I don't think he's been right all year.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But yeah, they're in a 3-way tie in that division at 8-7, along with the Colts and the Texans. And the way that division's been going, I wouldn't be surprised if they all three lose this week. But let's hope the Jaguars can hold off the Panthers. And just hold on to your pick.
For my own purposes, I might take Panthers money line just to, you know, make it hurt less if it hurts the Bears' chances at the number one pick.
But, yeah, just a emotional hedge.
Yeah, but ultimately on this one, I'm staying away. I want nothing to do. The Panthers looked like they might have figured something out on offense last week. Either that or Green Bay's defense is just complete booty hole. Who knows which one? But I'm sure we'll find out a little more this week. I think this Jaguars defense is decent. But I don't know. Panthers might have figured a little something out last week, and I'm not really in a position to say I'm chancing that on either side of this bet. So I'm just staying away.
Yeah. And if Panthers lose this game, I think you're guaranteed number one pick. Mm-hmm. So
yep, it gets locked in.
Yep.
All right. Next up, Arizona, formerly known as the Phoenix Cardinals, formerly known as the St. Louis Cardinals, formerly known as the Chicago Cardinals, going to Philadelphia, take on the Eagles. Eagles are 10.5 point favorites here.
Oldest franchise in the NFL.
Total of 48 points. Are they?
The charter franchise.
No. No, sir. Uh-huh. It's these guys. That's the charter.
No, the charter is the Cardinals.
No, sir.
Oldest team in the NFL.
No, sir. All right. What do you think about this one?
I want the Cardinals to win, but I don't think they will. I don't really have anything else. I want to see Kyler kind of give us something before the end of the year. Maybe he's just still getting back into form here. So, but yeah, I would just love to see Cardinals go out there and just beat the Eagles straight up here. Would love to see it. So let's hope that happens.
Tyler's been without Hollywood the last 2 weeks, I think, and like their receiving core is nothing to really speak all that nicely about. So he's not really working with a whole lot right now. So I mean, I think that's impacted him. But you're right. I'd like to see a little more from his fantasy numbers have been fine, but as we know, fantasy isn't always the best gauge of how a player's doing. So ultimately on this one, I did not stay away. I took the over 48. Cardinals defense has been booty. They're bad. They can't stop. They can't stop anything. Philly's going to score points in this game, I think. I think that Arizona is going to be able to score enough points to hit the 48 number. So that's give me the over 48. Yeah, so they're not the charter franchise. They're a charter franchise. Did you freeze on me? All right. Jay froze up, so I'll just keep rolling with this. Let's see here. Saints at Buccaneers is next. Buccaneers 2.5 point favorites, total of 42.5. Oh, he's back.
Am I?
Yeah.
Yeah, there I am. I don't know what happened. My screen just froze when I stopped sharing.
Yeah, sometimes when you share, it'll just freeze up on you.
But Saints Bucks. I think Bucks are playing better than anybody else in that division right now, so I'll probably take them here at -2.5, but I like the over even more. I think Bucks can score on just about anybody right now. The way Mike Evans is playing, the way Baker's playing, Rashard White's starting to kind of really pick it up too. And then, I mean, the Saints, for as bad as they've looked, they got weapons all over the field, so they can definitely score too. So I lean Buccaneers -2.5, but I like over 42.5 even more.
Couldn't put it better myself. I lean Buccaneers -2.5, and I took the over 42.5. I think Bucs are going to score plenty of points. I think Saints will get some garbage time points. And if that completely flips on me and the Saints play really well, I still think it's going over because I think the Bucs will get garbage time points. I think this is an easy over play.
Yes, sir.
But so on the Cardinals, yeah, they're a charter franchise, not the charter franchise. That's these guys because of George Halas. He created the charter.
Both of them together.
Don't you bad talk Papa Bear like that. All right, next up, Pittsburgh Steelers flying all the way to the Pacific Northwest. Take on the Seattle Seahawks. Seahawks are 3.5 point favorites, total of 41.5. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer's playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers now. What do you think of this?
Do you remember Duck Hodges?
Oh, I got a poster of him on my wall.
He should come back. I was thinking about him the other day. But yeah. Mr. Rudolph lit it up last week. They finally realized that George Pickens is really freaking good, and they just kept throwing him the ball, and he just kept catching touchdowns. So I have no idea if that trend is going to continue. Seattle's looked pretty good these last couple of weeks. Close game against Dallas, close game against Philly. 3.5, don't love that number. 41.5, don't love that number. I expect the Seahawks to win this game, but yeah, I'm not touching it.
Yeah, if this was 3, I might take it, but 3.5 is just, that's a little rich for me. The Steelers seem to, I mean, they got Minka Fitzpatrick back. I think that's huge for them. Mason Rudolph, I don't trust to replicate that performance, but who knows? Maybe he will. He was just chucking it deep, and George Pickens was making plays. So ultimately, I do think Seattle's secondary will be able to snuff some of that out between Witherspoon and Tariq Woolen. long, big defenders who have plenty of speed. I think they're going to make life tough on the Steelers receivers, but 3.5 is still a little rich for me, so I'm staying away.
Yes, sir. You like that.
Bengals. The red-hot Cincinnati Bengals going to Arrowhead, where the Chiefs just can't seem to figure it out. Chiefs are 7-point favorites here, total of 44.5. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm taking Bengals here. Until the Chiefs prove that they can play a complete game without mistakes, kind of staying away from them right now. I mean, I still think they're going to be more than a threat once the playoffs come around, but they're just in a funk right now. They can't seem to get out of their own way. They can't catch passes. Throwing the ball behind guys. Just don't seem to be clicking on all cylinders, so maybe Matt Nagy should leave. I don't know. I'm assuming that's the issue.
I do think it's some of it. I really do, because one of the plays that ended up in a defensive score for Vegas last week, it was like a trick pop pass play or something, and it just screamed of Matt Nagy's time in Chicago, where it was like, these guys only practiced this play 3 times, didn't they? Of just like, they didn't know what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And like, it's hard to imagine that Andy Reid's letting that go on, but like, I don't know. It looks like.
I also
like
feel
it.
Like Andy Reid just makes it plays like on the clipboard on the sideline sometimes.
Yeah, and maybe that's the benefit of having good receivers versus not good receivers. Like, guys who can just adjust on the fly like that.
Yeah, they definitely need some help. It's not like their receivers aren't getting open either. I mean, that's the most frustrating thing for them. It's like they haven't been able to catch the ball all year. And then with all the focus going to Kelce and nobody being able to take any pressure off him whatsoever, it's hard to get him going. Then Pacheco can't stay healthy. Edwards-Helaire has kind of been their saving grace here lately, but they haven't been winning. So, yeah, I'm taking Bengals +7 here until the Chiefs prove that they can shut somebody out and play good offensive football. 7 points is just way too much with all the weapons that they have over there in Cincinnati, even whoever's playing quarterback this week. So,
Jake Browning, Bengals +7.
I was going to say Jake Browning, but for some reason in the back of my head, I thought he got hurt.
If Jake Browning beats the Chiefs, do we have a quarterback controversy on our hands?
Maybe. I think we have a Matt Flynn situation on our hands if that happens.
Yeah. I don't know, though. It's the Chiefs. Like, Matt Flynn never beat a good team like that.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Joe Burrow is the guy.
So what would it take to create a quarterback controversy with Joe Burrow? What would he have to do?
Won a Super Bowl.
Okay. So he has to
get you to the Super Bowl.
Yeah. He has to win it. Okay. I can buy that.
I mean, Joe Burrow went to the Super Bowl in his second year with one of the worst offensive lines in the league and then went back to the AFC Championship game last year.
I'm not arguing your point. I was just curious. Yeah. I just wanted to know what creates the quarterback controversy in Bengals.
Like, yeah. I mean, I don't even – I think level. Even if Jake Browning won a Super Bowl, I still don't think that's enough.
Yeah.
But – That would be minimum.
Okay. Next up here, the LA Superchargers going to Denver to take on the Jarrett Stidham-led Denver Broncos, who are 3.5-point favorites here. Total of 37.5.
All-time Texas Tech commit that decommitted last second and then went on to have a very mediocre college career.
We were all very excited about Jarrett Stidham, but you know what? Pat Mahomes came through very quickly after, so it was just fine in my book.
Yes.
What do you think of this game, Jay?
This game's just gross. I don't think anything about this game. The Chargers is really bad. Broncos doing the whole thing of Russell Wilson didn't want to drop his guaranteed for injury, so they're like, well, we're just going to bench you so you don't get injured. So, yeah, I mean, maybe things are all fine and dandy there in Denver, but we went from at the trade deadline to selling everything to, hey, we have a real shot at maybe making the playoffs or even winning the division. crashing back down to earth, benching your quarterback that you traded 17 first-round picks for and gave him $500 million. And then you have the Chargers, who are the Chargers. So, yeah. Don't really care much about this game. What do you think?
I want nothing to do with it. I mean, I do have an inkling that Sean Payton's offense is going to look pretty different with Jarrett Stidham at the head of it. I think that he was doing quite a bit for Russ, and he's done with that now that he has his guy, Jarrett Stidham, who they gave a 2-year, $10 million contract to this past offseason.
Did they really?
Like, yeah. I mean, they had plans.
The Broncos not traded for Taysom Hill yet?
I don't know. I mean, Super Bowl if they do.
You think the Saints were just like, no, we want to keep this contract of a gadget guy that's making $16 million a year?
No, the Saints just know if they trade Taysom Hill to Sean Payton, Sean Payton's winning the Super Bowl. And that's a bad, that is not good for the Saints.
Maybe not.
But yeah, I want nothing to do with this game. I mean, I might even take the under. Like, if I was going to lean anything, it's probably the under in this game.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised about that.
Next up, Monday Night Football. Oh, God. Chargers-Broncos with Sunday Night Football? Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, who wants that?
Yeah.
Okay, Monday Night Football. We have a much more compelling game with the Green Bay Packers going to Minnesota. Not that much more compelling, but a little more compelling. Minnesota are 2-point favorites here. Total is a whopping 46.5. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, no Jaire Alexander this game. Did you hear that story on him?
Did you see the press conference?
Yeah, the one where he was in the shade talking to the media. Yeah.
God. He was just like, I don't see what I didn't do anything wrong. I'm from Charlotte.
Yeah. The crazy thing was is that like he admitted that not only was he not supposed to go out there, he was the one that called the talking and nearly just never got him the ball, and the ref just happened to be a nice guy that day. But if the ref wanted to be a dickhead, he could have been like, oh, okay, so you want to receive, so you're electing to receive, so the other team will be able to choose what they want to do at halftime.
Yeah.
Like,
just like ludicrous,
absolutely insane. But yeah, no Jaire Alexander this game. If the Vikings had any semblance of like consistency at quarterback, I would love this over. I still kind of like the over, but if I was taking anything, that would be what I'm taking is over 46.5. But just the inconsistency at quarterback for them makes it hard, even with Justin Jefferson and all those weapons they have over there.
Yeah, I mean, I can see a world where this game goes easily over, but I can also see a world where Brian Flores puts Jordan Love in a torture chamber, but the Vikings backup quarterback can't get anything going, so it just ends up like low scoring. So I did take over, and then I thought about it and cashed it out and was like, nah, I'm good. So I ended up avoiding it.
Hell yeah.
All right. Now on to some college football playoff. We got the, let's see. Where is it? I don't know what that sound was. It didn't come through my headphones, but I was looking for a drum roll. The Alabama Crimson Tide against Michigan Wolverines. Michigan is 1.5-point favorites in this game. Total of a low 44.5. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, I have no idea how Michigan is favored in this game. I really don't. I think Michigan's probably the worst team out of the four that made the college football playoff. A lot of people seem to really like J.J. McCarthy. He's been trending heavily on Bears Twitter. From the little bit of Bears Twitter that I'm on, people seem to be okay with trading the first-round pick for a haul of picks and getting like I don't agree either, but taking J.J. McCarthy at like the 9 to 12 range or shit like that. And I'm like, those people are crazy. I mean, he's all right. I think he's the worst quarterback out of all four. in the playoff. And I'm taking Alabama here. I think Michigan's the third best team they played. They played a pretty close game against Texas. They beat Georgia. I think Texas and Georgia are both better than Michigan, so they're battle-tested. And Michigan-Ohio State was their toughest test all year. Maybe Penn State. But, yeah, give me Alabama here. Give me Nick Saban in a playoff game, catching points. I'll take that money line all day for Alabama.
Yeah, so I'm with you. I got the Alabama money. Alabama plus money just makes all the sense in the world to me. But one thing that is really interesting in this game to me, Alabama's defense is built to stop the pass. This isn't your Alabama defenses of yesteryear where they had the massive hogs up front and you just couldn't move them. Like, this team was 31st in rushing yards per game allowed this year. The previous teams that I'm talking about, they were all like top three every year. So this is a team that is a bit more susceptible on the ground and is built to beat the pass. And what does Michigan do? Michigan doesn't really throw the ball all that much. They love to run the football. So it is an interesting matchup to me from that standpoint.
Interesting. But I think their offense is just going to roll over Michigan, which in turn is going to force Michigan to think they have to throw the football. And it's just going to be a nightmare scenario for them. But
it might be. There's people out there who seem to think J.J. McCarthy is just going to be a monster if they have to throw it, but I'm not sold yet.
I don't know where this narrative that J.J. McCarthy is this great quarterback came from. I mean, he's played well in spots, but he's never taken over a game. He's never been the best player on the field. I mean, he's never done anything that would instill the confidence of like, oh, we got our guy. It's like they've had phenomenal teams. They've been able to run the piss out of the football, play good defense, good offensive line play. Like, he's Greg McElroy. Like, he's a fine college quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he has some really nice tools, but he's not asked to use them. So it's kind of like, it's a weird, how do you assess that? You know, like, sure, he's got a good arm. He can make all the throws, but they don't ask him to. So it's just all speculation at that point until we see it. Like, so it's kind of like loosely, very loosely, so take this with a grain of salt, but a little bit similar to CJ Stroud in the playoff last year. Like, CJ had outstanding stats, so that's why I say it's like very loosely, but CJ needed to prove that he could do stuff, and then he proved it.
Yeah, and I mean, the biggest thing we saw from CJ Stroud last year in the playoffs was how mobile he was.
Yeah, and his ability to create outside of structure, which is one of the big questions on JJ. Like, can he create anything outside of structure? All he does is...
We know JJ's screen. Got wills, though.
yeah. But
we already know he's fast. But
I'm with you on the Bama money line. I actually kind of like the over, too, but I'm not betting it right now.
Yeah, I would probably take the over. But yeah, give me Bama money line here.
All right, next up, we got the Texas Longhorns against the Washington Huskies. Washington are 4.5-point dogs here and a massive total of 62.5. What do you think about this one?
Yeah, I like Texas in this game. I think their defensive line is going to be able to eat up Washington's offensive line, get Michael Penix under pressure early and often, and it's going to slow down that high-powered Washington offense, I believe. And then I think Texas is just going to play good football and offense, run the ball well, pass the ball well. Yours is playing well right now. I don't really love 4.5. I think I got it at 3, like, as soon as the games came out. But, I like Texas versus Bama in the national championship. I kind of like this over, but, I mean, I could also see this being a low-scoring game if Texas can run the ball well and get pressure on Penix early and often. I could see this being a 20-10 game or something. Like,
I don't know. I think differently on that last part. Like, I think this is a coin flip game to me. I could see either team winning. Probably lean in a little to Texas, but I just think Washington will make any game that they want a shootout at some point. and they like, so I like the over. I'm taking over 62.5, and I'm taking Washington plus 4.5. I think it's hard to stop those receivers. I do worry
Texas
about
Texas can't
Penix.
Get pressure on them. If Texas can't get pressure on them, Penix is going to throw for 500. Yeah, I mean that's the weak spot of Texas, their defensive backs. But if Penix doesn't have time to throw the ball, then
well, and that Washington O-line isn't. They're not a problem. You know, they got a few guys in the looking to be drafted.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a good. I think this is going to be one of the
sweat on that Texas fun game. Is might be one of the best players in the country, if not the best player in the country.
What was his name?
I think it's Devondre Sweat.
Oh, Devondre Sweat, but Byron Young, I want to say, or Byron something. I think he actually might be the more interesting player. Like I watched some Sweat. And he was good for a nose tackle, but I still think he's a nose tackle. You know, he's not a guy who's going to venture outside of nose tackle much. But, like, the other guy, I think he has some real game-wrecking ability on that defense.
Yeah, I think Sweat's probably the better college guy for sure. But, yeah, I think the other guy you're talking about, I'm trying to find it right now, but... I'm not having any luck. But anyway, yeah, I like Texas in this game, and I like Texas, Alabama in the national championship.
Yeah. Byron Murphy II, that's what I'm talking about. But I really want to see Bama Washington in the championship, because those corners against those receivers, that would be a hell of a game. But if gun to my head, I'm probably taking Texas Bama.
What's the worst possible matchup here? Washington, Michigan? Because I think Texas, Michigan would be cool. Texas, Bama would be cool. Washington, Bama would be cool. I don't want to see Washington, Michigan.
Yeah, I think Washington, Michigan. There's just blowout potential there written all over it.
Yeah.
I don't know which side.
Yeah, I think that'd be the most boring national championship.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So we just need Bama to win and then it'll be good no matter what.
Yes, sir. I agree. Also, this Texas Washington game is like a 8:30, 9:30 kickoff. I can't remember, which is ludicrous.
That's insane. Why?
Start the first game at like noon to like 2 o'clock ish, and then like 6:30 kickoff.
Yeah, that's too late. Like especially with it being New Year's Day, like people got work the next day.
Is it New Year's Day or New Year's Eve?
It's New Year's Day, I think.
Oh,
that's they switched it this year.
Good, because I have to be up at like 4 a.m. on New Year's Day, but the next day. I can sleep in a little bit, so I actually like that better. But yeah, I still wish it was earlier in the day, though. But,
yeah,
ridiculous. So yeah, 8 o'clock kickoff, 4 p.m. is the kickoff for Bama. It's Central Time, but
yeah, it's so ludicrous. 5 and 9 for me.
It's not going to be over till midnight, 1 o'clock. What was it last year that the missed field goal from? Ohio State, it missed at the exact same time the Central Time Zone went to the New Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
It's just stupid. Like, why do we do this way?
I don't know. To appease the West Coast that don't even watch college football?
Bunch of hippies out there, I'll tell you what.
Yeah. Yeah, you have three of the biggest football markets in the United States with Washington.
All right. Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
All right. Thanks for listening. Please, if you guys like our show, go give us a review. Go give us a rating. It helps us more than you guys can imagine. And we want to hear what you guys think. So if you don't like it, let us know. We want to hear it. Please help us out with that. And Have a great night. Don't sleep on those Texans.
Adios.